Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter, where Jesus says to his disciples, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words." Please be seated. So here's the question this morning. Do you love Jesus? Based upon what we just heard in the gospel text, do you really love Jesus? It seems like a silly question. Of course we love Jesus. You're here on Sunday morning to hear the gospel proclaimed. You were baptized. Of course, you love Jesus. But when we hear the words in our gospel text today, when we hear Jesus' statement, it should give us pause. It should make us reflect on our actions. For many who bear the name Christian, daily, willfully disobey Jesus' word, and others even outright deny his teachings. And this is because they're not worshiping the true Jesus. In his book entitled, "Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up?" Lutheran pastor Matthew Richards describes 12 false Christs. These 12 false Christs that well-meaning Christians like you and I tend to follow after. We prefer the false Christ rather than the real Christ. And this happens when you take the biblical Jesus and you reshape him and form him into the God that makes you feel more comfortable, into the God you would rather be following. And as a matter of fact, sometimes that God is you. Some of these personal Jesuses are the moral example Jesus, the social warrior Jesus, and the patriotic Jesus. And these are just to name a few. Now, some will claim that, well, the true Jesus would never condemn same-sex marriage or sex outside of wedlock. He would never condemn transgenderism because he's a loving God and he wants you to be happy. He would never condemn criticizing heterodox doctrines, calling out sin for what it is, because, you know, only God is to judge. We don't have to go on, because I'm sure you get the idea. Ever since the fall in the Garden of Eden, mankind has had a tendency to curve in upon himself and create the God of their desire, and that desire is being the self-God. You and I have an inclination to rebel against God and his commandments, and we want to create our own set of guidelines. This is what makes me comfortable. This is what I'm going to live. This is how I'm going to behave. And I'm sure Jesus is happy with that. I had a lady tell me one time, "Me and God have an understanding. He lets me go my way." Well, we see how this plays out in our Old Testament text this morning. These are the direct descendants of Noah after the flood. All the people across the whole earth are of one language. And in their sinfulness and conceit, they wish to build a city and a tower to create unity, something to gather around so they would not drift apart. They wish to create unity and oneness rather than obey God's commandment that he gave to Noah and his family when they got off the ark. And what was that commandment? Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So the Lord God came and confused their speech, making it difficult for family groups to communicate. And you see this when immigrants come into the city. Our immigrants, the Germans went here, and the Italians went there, and the Chinese went here. They formed their own communities where they could communicate and get along together. And the takeaway point in this is rebellion against God ultimately leads to division with people, but most specifically, it leads to division between you and God. Creating your own false Jesus drives you away from the truth of God's word and into what St. Paul describes as different doctrines, myths, and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. So this is why Jesus emphasized to his disciples, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Our gospel text is taking place in the upper room on the night when Jesus was betrayed. The disciples are gathered with their rabbi, their savior, for one last Passover meal. Jesus had announced to them that he was going away, and where he was going, they could not come. He had been with them for 3 years. They'd studied under him. He'd had miracles for them, giving them food, feeding them, comforting them, their every need. And on this night, he taught them many, many, many more things. You could kind of akin it to drinking water from a fire hose. It's information is coming so fast, it was too much information. They were confused. They didn't understand. If Jesus was going away, where were they going to get all their answers? Who was going to help them go on their own direction? But Jesus promised them a helper, saying, "The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to bring to their remembrance all things and bring to remembrance all that he had taught them, all that they had witnessed. Help them to recall the deeds and the words of Jesus. And what did these gentlemen do? These apostles, they wrote scripture for us to recall Jesus' deeds and his words. And this is why we stress the importance of God's word as recorded in Holy Scripture. These words are not merely the words of men, but they're God's true word. All scripture is God-breathed, and it was recorded by men while they were being carried along by the Holy Spirit. You can trust God's word. You should rely on God's word, and you should gladly hear and learn it. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit was fulfilled. God sent the Holy Spirit upon believers, fulfilling the prophecy of Joel, where Joel writes, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." You received that same Holy Spirit, although it was poured out to you in a much calmer means, in the water and the word at a baptismal font. Or maybe the Spirit was poured out to you in the preaching of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God for salvation for all who believe. Faith comes from hearing the word of Christ. St. Paul writes, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Paul also writes, "Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, 'Jesus is accursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except in the Holy Spirit." It's the Holy Spirit alone who, by means of word and sacrament, brings you to know Jesus. He opens your eyes so that you can know Christ. He resuscitates your cold, dead heart so that you can believe in Christ and you can confess Christ, the true and real Christ, so you can trust in his promise of forgiveness, life, and salvation. So for all this, it should spur each and every one of us to more diligently read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest God's Word. Because when you get down to it, we're just like those people at the Tower of Babel. We want to build a name for ourselves. We want to stay together where everyone's happy and no one makes waves. We have an inclination to curve in upon ourselves. It's not enough for the Christian to say, I'm baptized and I'm confirmed, I'm saved. It's not enough for the Christian to sit through 1 hour of church per week and say, I put in my hour, I'm done for the week, see you next Sunday. On your behalf, Christ Jesus lived a perfect life and carried all your sins and all your griefs and put them to death on Calvary's cross, winning victory over sin, death, and the devil. Jesus has won all these precious gifts for you. He has so many gifts he wants to pour out upon you. But if you don't go to where the gifts are delivered, how can the Holy Spirit pour out his gifts? If you don't get into God's Word, how can you expect to receive his gifts? As I tell the confirmation students, imagine Christmas tree on Christmas morning, packages all over the place with your name on them. And you start tearing into the packages. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh no, Mom and Dad, I've had enough packages. Take them back. I don't need any more of your gifts. Well, that's what we do when we shun God's Word and his preaching. Because if the Christian is truly to possess all of the gifts that Jesus won for you in his life, death, and resurrection, the Holy Spirit has to have the opportunity to teach your hearts and minds to believe in Jesus. The Holy Spirit must have the opportunity to teach your hearts and minds to keep the word of Jesus. The Holy Spirit must have an opportunity to show you your sin. And not merely just pointing out the little itsy-bitsy sin here or there, but causing you to recognize the gravity of your sin so that you grieve over your sin, knowing that you deserve eternal death because of your sin, that you deserve eternal damnation, so that you become contrite and repent of your sin and flee from your sin and cling to the word and promise of Jesus. Our Lord calls you to be devoted to his word and to keep his word. So if you're lazy and you ignore Jesus' word, that's not keeping his word. So if you ignore his word, how can you possibly love Jesus? If you don't try to keep God's commandments, how can you say that you really love Jesus? Now, to be sure, you're saved by grace alone, through faith. However, faith without works is dead. Faith without bearing the fruits of faith is dead. Out of love for the one who first loved you, who first loved me, you and I, we should try diligently to keep God's commandments and keep Jesus' word. Can we do it perfectly? Well, of course not. But that doesn't mean we don't try. When you fail, repent. Receive God's forgiveness and devote yourself to God's word, to Jesus' word. Keeping Jesus' word isn't an act of obedience that you can create by your own reason or strength. As you know, you were taught in catechism, it goes back to the power of the Holy Spirit. You have been given the Helper. You have been given the Holy Spirit who calls, gathers, and enlightens the whole Christian church on earth. As a baptized believer in Jesus, you have that gift of the Holy Spirit. and he brings into remembrance all that Jesus has spoken and taught. And you know where it happens. It happens in word and sacrament. It happens in your bedroom as you do your devotions before you go to bed at night, or at the breakfast table, or wherever you read God's word. While you were still a sinner, God loved you and sent his only begotten Son to die for you. And by means of word and sacrament, the Holy Spirit creates life-giving faith within you, empowering you to believe in Jesus, strengthening you to love Jesus, enabling you to keep Jesus' word. The Holy Spirit is your helper, sent by the Father to comfort you with the knowledge of Jesus' peace. You see, Jesus' peace isn't merely freedom from arguments. It's not worldly peace like freedom from warfare. Jesus' peace doesn't promise success, good health, and getting along well with others. Though Jesus' peace gives you comfort in the face of warfare. And you and I are in battle every day against assaults of the evil one and the struggle against the world's temptations and our own sinful flesh. But Jesus' word to you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Brothers and sisters in Christ, right here is what true peace looks like. Jesus said, "It is finished." The Holy Spirit delivers Jesus' peace to you. You know you have comfort that he has won peace between you and God in heaven, reconciling you back with the Father, freeing you from death and giving you life, forgiveness, and salvation. Death has no hold over you when you pass away. You will pass from death into life. And you have this peace. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in the words of St. Paul, "I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.